Young men of New York, if you like the adventure of flying, sign up as a Navy air crewman. If you're 17 through 26, physically fit and unmarried, contact the nearest naval recruiting station. You'll be trained to do a job now and prepare yourself for a successful future. WABC, New York.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents The Theater of Romance. Tonight, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you Claude Rains in The Citadel. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you The Theater of Romance with your favorite stars and your favorite stories and plays. And here is your host to tell you about tonight's presentation, A.J. Cronin's great story, The Citadel, starring Claude Rains and featuring Gertrude Warner.
Good evening. The story which we bring you is one doctor's story about another doctor. Dr. Cronin has found for his hero, Andrew Manson, not only romance in his life work, but also romance in his love for Christine. Meet Andrew Manson, M.D.
Whenever anyone asks me, how did you and Christine meet? My mind goes back across the years to Brunelli, and I see myself young and shy and anxious, walking down the dirty streets of that miserable little town, 24, fledgling doctor. And I see myself once more standing in Christine's classroom, looking at her for the first time, as mad at her as I'd ever been mad at anybody. Miss Barlow, I understand that you took it upon yourself to say that Idris Howell could return to school today. And I told him to stay home because he'd been exposed to measles.
Yes, I did. His mother was at her wit's end. I feel reasonably sure he's not going to infect anyone.
You have no right to feel reasonably sure of anything. You're a schoolteacher and a woman.
I was not aware that doctors and men were the only authorities in the world. Now, Dr. Manson, it's time for class. Good day.
Good day, Miss Barlow. I fully meant reported to the school authorities. I walked at least 20 blocks before I began to think that it wasn't a very manly or gentlemanly thing to report a woman. I walked 20 more before I decided to give her a second chance. By the time I'd walked 3 miles out into the country, I was wondering how I would ever manage to make her forgive me. And by the time I walked 3 miles back, I was wondering how I would ever be able to persuade her to marry me. You know, sometimes love comes like that. It was a fortnight before I saw her again. Good evening, Miss Barlow.
Good evening, Dr. Manson.
It's pretty late for you to be going home from school, isn't it?
I had some papers to correct. It's pretty late for you to be walking by the school, isn't it?
I wasn't exactly walking by. As a matter of fact, I've been standing here for 2 hours. I knew that sooner or later you'd have to come out, and I thought that when you did, you wouldn't mind letting me walk along with you, since we are going in the same general direction.
Are we going in the same general direction, Dr. Manson?
Mm-hmm. We are. I owe you an apology. You were right to take just the stand you did about Idris. After all, sometimes the spirit of the law is more important than the letter of it. Please forgive me.
Well, there's nothing to forgive. We both lost our tempers. It was nice of you to wait for me. You're lonely, aren't you, Dr. Manson?
Very. But I didn't know it until I met you. I'm still groping, still feeling my way here, you know. I was only brought here to care for Dr. Page's practice during his illness. I must begin to look around in the neighboring town for a place for myself.
Tell me something, Dr. Manson. Everyone has a citadel. What's yours?
My citadel?
Mm.
I think my citadel is knowledge. If I reach it, I'll have learned something more about saving lives than is known now. I'll have taken the knowledge that was passed on to me and studied it and worked with it and found out something new to add to it and pass it on to the next student.
That's a very splendid citadel.
Well, I didn't mean to preach a sermon. Hey, we must be almost to your house.
Oh, we've already passed it.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't notice. You see, I had my eyes on the citadel, and I was blinded by the light.
I saw her often. After that night, we walked home together. We talked our way through a long springtime and into the summer. Early in September, I was appointed to the medical staff of the small mining town of Avalor. I could hardly wait to tell Christine about it. Christine, I got a job, the most wonderful job at Avalor. I was up seeing the committee today. 500 a year and a house, Christine. Oh, darling, will you marry me? It's a wonderful place, Christine, and I can have the job if I have a wife. I know I'm not half good enough for you, and it's only fair to tell you that, but if you'll have me, I'll try very hard to make you happy. You see, I love you very much.
Oh, darling, don't you know? You're the man I've been waiting for all my life.
Christine. I carried her across the threshold. And into the years, she seemed to be more beautiful, more intelligent, more generous than any woman that had ever lived. Now, looking back on those days at Avalor is like looking back on springtime. There must have been rain and snow, but I have no recollection of it. All I remember is sun and blue skies and vivid hillsides and a singing happiness. One night, she came into my study.
Andrew, are you fond of your name?
My name? Mm. Well, I don't know. I suppose I am. Andrew is my father's name, you know.
Would you like to call your son Andrew?
My son?
Yes, of course. You're going to have a son.
Darling.
I wouldn't dream of having a daughter first. It's quite impractical.
Christine. Darling. It's so wonderful, I can hardly believe it. It's really true.
Now, isn't that a fine question for a doctor? Oh, darling, all evening I've been sitting out there rocking my dream. I've scrubbed him and kissed him and spanked him and seen him through college.
My dear, would you think me unbearably sentimental if I said I love you very much?
Oh, Andrew, I'm so happy. Sometimes I find myself praying, dear God, let it be forever. Just like this.
Let it be forever. Just like this. Nothing lasts forever. Happiness least of all. And grief came, and came with a swift, devastating blow that shocked and numbed and killed. I was just leaving a patient's house and...
Dr. Manson! Dr. Manson! Get to come to the hospital at once. It's your wife. She was walking across one of the footbridges and she fell. Dr. Hogue is tending her.
I'm sorry, Manson. I did everything I could. The baby was born dead.
Christine...
She's all right now. You can go in. But, Manson, I...
Yes, Dr. Hogue. What is it?
She'll never be able to have another baby.
Mm-hmm. I see. She's all right.
She'll be back on her feet in a few days.
Thank you, Doctor. I know you did all you could. Hi, darling. How do you feel?
I feel...
Don't cry. Don't cry, darling. Don't cry.
My arms ache so. My arms feel so empty. And my throat. My throat is choked with lullabies. All the lullabies I've been waiting all my life to sing. I keep telling myself, I'll have another baby next year. I'll have another baby, but that doesn't help. Maybe it's because I don't believe it.
Darling, you're making me feel very badly. You're making me feel that I've failed somehow, that
being with me is not enough. I do love this baby, but I'm afraid not as much as I should. I'm afraid there really isn't room in my heart for anyone but you, Christine. We have each other. Isn't it enough that we have each other?
Yes, dear. Of course it is. I'm sorry. I'm all right now. There never will be another baby, will there, Andrew?
I haven't said that.
Yes, you have, darling. Yes, you have.
Young lady, remember this message from Colgate Tooth Powder. Maybe tonight that certain someone will see you in his dreams. Yes, romance may be just around the corner for you. But take care that when you turn that corner, no little breath of trouble will come your way. What to do? Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. The tooth powder that cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, night and morning and before every date. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. As for cleaning, no dentifrice at any price will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the second act of The Citadel, starring Claude Rains as Dr. Andrew Manson, with Gertrude Warner as Christine.
After Christine was well again, we couldn't bear to live in Avalor any longer. Not in Avalor, where our son would have gone to school and grown to manhood. We went to London. I bought the practice of Dr. Foy, who died shortly before. It wasn't a very lucrative practice, and after months of struggle, months of pinching pennies and watching Christine become more and more haggard, I began to grow bitter. You know, poverty eats away at ideals, and mine began to seem both naive and foolish. I was ready then to listen to the advice of an old friend of my intern days.
Look here, Manson, you've got to get wise to yourself. Get some wealthy patients and charge them a good figure. Why, the greater part of my income comes from hypochondriacs. Now, let me make you a proposition. You're a doctor, I'm a surgeon. You recommend me to your patients, and I'll recommend you to mine. We'll split the profits, and they won't be small. Think it over.
After he left, I walked around and around the office, looking at the shabby furniture, the shabby walls. I thought of Dr. Ivory's fashionable home and car and of his sleek, well-groomed appearance. And finally, I walked over to the mirror and looked at myself. And I thought, you're a fool. That's what you are. You're a fool. I called Ivory the next day, and we did very well together. Mrs. Lawrence, about your daughter's tonsils, I'd like to suggest a colleague of mine. He's expensive, but he's one of the finest surgeons in London. I know you want Sylvia to have the best. Christine, I've thought of something you could do to help me save time. I've prepared a couple of stock mixtures. I'd like you to fill the bottles, label, and wrap them. They're simple prescriptions that cannot hurt anybody.
Will they help them?
They're only for people who aren't really sick, but who enjoy thinking they are and taking medicine.
Andrew!
Well, I'm tired of poverty and squalor. It's not living, Christine.
The climb to a citadel is never easy.
Citadel, what a lot of hot air I used to talk. What a fool I was.
What a good doctor you were. And what a great doctor you might have been.
Well, you might at least try to understand, Christine.
I do understand, Andrew, and I'm disappointed.
All right, Christine, all right. If that's the way it's going to be, then that's the way it's going to be. I went on sharing cases with Ivory for months. I might have gone on forever. As it was, I went on too long. I took him one case too many. It was an abdominal case, a simple one, a cyst that needed removing. It was the first real case I'd given him, although I didn't realize it until I stood there in a cold sweat, watching a man die through sheer inefficient bungling, watching my patient die. I was stunned and a little sick of my stomach. I was very cool about it when we met in his office a few minutes later.
Well, that's over. I'm sorry, Manson, but these things happen in the best regulated circles, you know.
Oh, no, they don't. You killed him. You're not a surgeon. You never were. You never will be a surgeon. You're the worst butcher I've ever seen in my life. You're a murderer, and so am I.
Oh, come now. Pull yourself together. You'll see this differently when you cool down and think about it. Well, everyone loses a patient now and then. It's the law of averages.
Is it? Goodbye, Ivory.
Where are you going?
I'm going home. I'm going home. Christine, I think I'm through with medicine. I've no right to practice anymore.
You have no right to stop. It's the only way you can make up for this mistake. Oh, you're a good doctor, Andrew, and I believe with all my heart that one day you'll be a great one. You must go on.
Darling, I did something this afternoon after the operation that ethically I had no right to do. I went down to the ward and I told Mary Anderson to ask for a release from the hospital.
She's your TB case from Abeloy, isn't she?
Yes, her father was the dentist there. I haven't been satisfied with her progress under Dr. Madison. After she got her release, I took her out in the country to Stillman's new clinic.
But Stillman isn't a doctor.
Well, he's made a life study of tuberculosis. He's the greatest man in the world in his field. She needs an operation. I think he's the one man that might save her. Now, Christine, that's more important than ethics, isn't it? If he does save her, it might help make up for today.
It also might mean losing your license to practice.
Well, I think Mary's life is worth that risk.
Then I think you're right to take it.
Darling. Darling, I've come home, you know. Can we go back to what we were? Can it be the same?
No, Andrew. We can never go back to what we were. I don't even think we want to. Sometimes separation and sorrow bring people a new understanding and a new bond. What we have now is better than anything we've ever had, my darling.
I love you, Christine. I love you very much. Now, I knew that Dr. Ivory would do everything he could to have me disgraced and that he wouldn't miss so glowing an opportunity. The letter from the Penal Cases Committee of the Medical Society came about a month later. I was notified that on August the 15th, I had assisted one Richard Stillman, an unregistered person practicing in a department of medicine, and that I was therefore guilty of infamous conduct in a professional respect. My trial was set for November the 10th. The prosecuting attorney hammered at me for hours.
Dr. Manson, you say you had no knowledge that your conduct was in any degree infamous. Yet you did know that Mr. Stillman was not a qualified gentleman.
Yes. I knew he wasn't a doctor.
Ah, I see, I see. Yet even that did not deter you.
No. Even that did not deter me. Mr. Boone, I've listened to you asking a great many questions. Will you allow me to ask you just one? Have you ever heard of Louis Pasteur?
Of course. Who hasn't?
Exactly, who hasn't? You are probably unaware of the fact, Mr. Boone. Perhaps you will allow me to tell you that Louis Pasteur, the greatest figure of all scientific medicine, was not a doctor, nor was Ehrlich, the man who gave medicine the best and most specific remedy in its entire history. Forgive me for reminding you of these elementary facts, Mr. Boone. They may show you that every man fighting disease who hasn't got his name on the register isn't necessarily a knave or a fool.
Yes. Yes, those are illustrious names. No one can deny that. Surely you don't compare Stillman with them.
Why not? They're only illustrious because they're dead. Stillman is a great and original scientific thinker. He's done more for tuberculosis than any man living today. I think he should be supported, not persecuted.
You're forgetting yourself, Dr. Manson.
Gentlemen, I've listened to the pleading that's been going on today on my behalf, and all the time I've been asking myself what harm I've done. Now, if we go on trying to make out that everything wrong outside the profession and everything is right within, it means the death of scientific progress. We must give our pioneers a chance. I know I've made plenty of mistakes and bad mistakes, and I regret them. But I made no mistake with Richard Stillman. Mary Anderson is cured. Now you can do with me what you want.
Andrew Manson, the counsel is of the opinion that you were acting in good faith and were sincerely desirous of complying with the spirit of the law, demanding a high standard of professional conduct. I have to inform you accordingly that the council has not seen fit to direct the registrar to erase your name.
Good evening, Dr. Manson. Isn't it pretty late for you to be going home from the medical chamber?
Why, good evening, Mrs. Manson. Isn't it pretty late for you to be walking by the medical chambers?
I wasn't exactly walking by. As a matter of fact, I was just sort of standing here. I knew sooner or later you'd have to come out, and I thought when you did, you wouldn't mind letting me walk along with you, since we are going in the same direction.
A very fine piece of feminine logic. Would you care to enlighten me in what general direction we are going?
I think perhaps we're going to a town someplace. A small town like Abelor. Some town that's in the general direction of a citadel.
Mm-hmm. That's where we're going. And this time, nothing will get us off our course. This time, we're going to keep climbing until we reach it. Give me your arm, Mrs. Manson. Let us be on our way.
Adore your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Why, you bring her flowers and candy even when it's not her birthday. You know, even a loving wife can't bring herself to mention a little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, to her husband. Well, don't let that little breath of trouble hurt your happy marriage. I tell you what, brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder, the tooth powder that cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder, in 7 cases out of 10, instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Tonight, Claude Rains starred as Andrew, and Gertrude Warner played Christine. The Citadel by A.J. Cronin was adapted especially for this program by Gene Holloway. The music was composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow, and the entire production was directed by Mark Loeb.
Next week, Walter Abel comes to star on the theater of romance in one of the most dramatic, most exalting love stories of modern times, The Enchanted Cottage. Mr. Abel will play Oliver Ashworth, a war hero who can find no peace until at last he finds beauty and unexpected happiness with a girl everyone else sees as the plainest of the plain, in an enchanted cottage. Join us again next Tuesday night.
Hello, everybody, hello. Hello with the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So hello, everybody, hello.
Yes, use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling film. The first time you use Halo, see how your hair sparkles and gleams with natural brilliance. How the deep natural color looks brighter, glossier. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and dirt. Needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
So hello, everybody, Halo. Halo shampoo, Halo.
Until next Tuesday night, when Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance brings you Walter Abel in The Enchanted Cottage, this is your host saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.